The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 27th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
To Women's Spaces, my name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
And happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yesterday was Ken's birthday, and we celebrated. We're so modern. We did a Zoom, and we want to thank all the people that joined us and wished him such good wishes and wished him well. It was very, very exciting. I have to say, I love all this technology. It certainly comes in handy as we're all hunkered down in our homes. Well, I have a very special guest for this show. Joining me on the phone will be Arielle Kelly, who is the acting CEO of Cortisone Healdsburg, a Healdsburg-based nonprofit. She was recently recognized as one of North Bay's top 40, under 40, notable young professionals. She was also appointed recently as a commissioner on the Sonoma County Planning Commission, and she is an attorney by training. Arielle is both a juris, has both a Juris Doctorate and MBA degrees, and I really look forward to interviewing her. I'm very, very excited about it. I mean, some of the things that young women are doing is just amazing, particularly in the Northern California here. Well, this is the last Monday of the month, and we'll be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge. A reminder, next month we will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. And, you know, people say given. It is not given. We won the vote. It took us 72 years of heavy-duty lobbying and protesting and actually costing people's lives. Women were jailed. They were waterboarded just to get us to vote. And the shameful thing is that some women don't vote. Or if they vote, they don't make a decision for themselves. They find out what their husband wants to do or their brother wants to do, and that's the way they vote. We have to take the vote a little bit more seriously than that. And, I say this over and over. Our history is our strength. Why is our history our strength? Because it's so important that we know the shoulders that we are standing on. I mean, all the women that came before us, the risks they took. I mean, some women actually risked their lives, their careers, their reputations. I mean, you heard what just happened with Congresswoman Alexandria Cortez. You know, she was standing on the steps of the Congress, and a representative walked up and called her a four-letter word plus another word afterwards, and I just could not believe it. In fact, when we take a break, I'm going to play a song particularly dedicated to her. How could anyone ever tell you that you're less than perfect? I mean, this woman is beautiful. She is standing up to power. It's very, very interesting listening to the interview before we came on Democracy Now, talking about having a radical vision. Well, I have a radical vision that's very interesting. I was thinking, I was watching the protests, particularly in Portland, what was happening. You had the white supremacists, you had the Black Lives Matters, and then in the middle, you had federal troops. At least that's what they're calling them, federal troops. Nobody really knows. And I was wondering what would happen if white supremacists and Black Lives Matter got together and figured a way to live on this planet, because what's in the middle of them is oppression, taking our democracy away. I don't care if you're a white supremacist or a Black Lives Matter. You're in trouble. People are trying to take your voice away. It doesn't quite look like that, but trust me, this is the way it will end up turning out. What it would be, what a vision I have. Come together. Bring your guns to the table, for God's sakes, if you're so afraid of each other, and figure a way, how can we live together? You know, in the Bible it says we're all made in God's image. I mean, how much further do you have to go? We call ourselves a Christian nation. We say one nation under God. Well, I always thought God was a loving entity. I think nature, of course, nature is full of challenges. Don't get me wrong, you know, life and death constantly. I mean, one minute you got plums on the tree and the next minute there's no leaves. I mean, everything's going through transition constantly. But to start thinking about it and to think about our history, to think about the women that came before us. And I'm going to give you a little history lesson, but I just want to remind you again, this is the last Monday of the month and we'll be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge. And that'll come on in just a few moments. So let's go look at our history as our strength. And it's so important because these are women who stood up and said, I want something better. I want something different. So I have a few birthdays here. Happy birthday, July 27th, 1891. That today is July 27th, and she passed away in 1980, Myrtle Lawrence. She was a sharecropper. She was a sharecropper and a labor organizer, and she worked within biracial Southern Tenant Farmers Union from 1936 to 1943, and she was honored on the 1976 Bicentennial Freedom Train Exhibition. Well, a real shout out to Myrtle Lawrence. She stood up in a time when women were told, you know, go home. Another great birthday, and I love this because I never really knew much about her until I watched Iron Jawed Angels, and that's Lucy Byrne. She was born July 28, 1879, and she passed away in 1966. Lucy Burns was a suffrage. She formed the National Woman's Party with Alice Paul, and she picketed the White House for women's suffrage, and she was arrested 6 times. You know, back then when they were arrested, I mean, they were just thrown in jail. Now we at least have people that are aware of the horrors of when you get arrested. We have the Civil Rights Union. We have all kinds of different things. We have the ACLU. We have different things in place that they did not have back then. And then I found, you know, this is a bilingual radio station. And what I found is a very, very interesting woman that was born July 29th, 1896, and she passed away in 1986. Maria Rebecca Latigo de Hernandez. She was a Mexican-American rights activist. She was born in San Pedro Garza García, Mexico. During the 1930s, she spoke publicly and demonstrated on behalf of Mexican-Americans about their education in the United States. She and her husband, Pedro Hernandez Barala, founded Odin Calabosa de America on January 10, 1929, and she also organized the Association of Protectors of Women in 1933. In 1970, she was active in the Raza Unida Party. What a woman this was. I mean, this woman stood up, especially being a Latina, she stood up in a time, like I said, women were told to shut up and go home. So happy birthday, Maria Rebecca Latigo de Hernandez. What an honor to be able to honor you today. And then the last person that was very, very interesting, and this is when she found on July 30th, 1939, Eleanor Shamil, S-M-E-A-L. What a name, Shamil. She was a woman rights activist. She was the co-founder and president of the Feminist Minority Foundation in 1987 and was one of the publishers of Miss Magazine and president of the National Organization for Women 1977 to 1982 and 1985 to 1987. Amazing women. You know, and I find all this information from the National Women's History Alliance, and you can go ahead on the internet, just look up National Women's History Alliance, and you go into information, and you can find a whole listing of all kinds of different women and all the wonderful things they accomplished. What it does for me personally is when I read all these things and I realize that the time span that these women were in, it gives me confidence. It gives me courage because today is the day that we all have to stand up. You know, you heard, if you were listening to the last program and I listened to it, I get to hear it twice when I leave my home I get up in the morning, it's on. As we come into the studio, we get to listen to Democracy Now. This is one of the, this is pivotal. We are making history right now. This is historic moments. We are making changes. And my prayer is that the change we make is that people come together and sit down and ask the question, how important is our democracy to us? How important is our First Amendment and our Second Amendment and all the amendments? How important are they to us? How willing are we to sit down, black, white, Asian, Muslim, whatever, just the whole gamut of humanity, how willing are we to sit down and talk? Let people know our pain, our desires, because we have all been put behind. I mean, look, they're threatening to, in the middle of a pandemic, they're threatening to cancel medical coverage for people. We have to sit down together. We have to think these things out. It is very, very important. And I recognize it's very difficult. I mean, I was not always one that could speak out. I mean, I went back to school when I was 30 years old, and I had a great blessing. Before I could graduate, I had to take public speaking. And I was terrified when I went into the class. I couldn't even open my mouth. And the teacher goes, 1, 2, I'm number 3, calls us up to the front of the class. Now, folks, I couldn't graduate if I didn't pass this class. So I had to go up there. I had no choice. I remember I was sweating, and all I had to do was say my name and my major. Can you believe? All I had to say was my name and my major, and I'm ready to pass out. And I was able to do it. The teacher encouraged me. And after the class, because I think he recognized that I was probably the oldest one in the class, I went back to school when I was 30, he walked up to me and he says, Elaine, you seem terrified. Oh, my God, I'm glad you noticed. You know, I said, oh, God, yes, I was. I said, I'm not a public speaker. I says, but I have to take this class to graduate. He says, let me work with you. And I'll tell you something. He worked with me. He got me up in front of the class. He got me on the forensic team. I was debating by the end of the semester. All I needed was that little oomph, that little push, that little acknowledgement, number one, that I was terrified, number two, that I could overcome it, and number three, that I did it. And thank you. I can't even remember the teacher's name. In fact, I'm doing my memoirs now. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research to find out all these different people, all these different angels. You know, Becky Hobbs does a song called Angels Among Us. I mean, I love that song. I play it every once in a while. And I realize, and everyone should realize, the angels that come into their lives that help them change direction, do something different. You know, it's an amazing journey, this thing called life. You know, we only get one round. I mean, we don't know. We might have more rounds, but all I know is I'm right here for whatever. I mean, I made it so far up to 80 years, which I think is an accomplishment, all the different things you go through in life. But it's a gift that we're given every day, each and every one of us. And, you know, I think of the white supremacist on one hand, and I think of the Black Lives Matter people on the other hand, and then I think of these people in the middle, these federal troops, I don't know what to call them, unidentified. This could be our future if these two side groups don't come together and sit down at the table and say, look, we got to figure this one out. We have got to figure this one out. Well, but we need self-esteem. We need the ability to stand up and not be afraid what anybody thinks of us, but to be able to speak our truth and to come from our heart and the feeling that we as human beings deserve to live freely, deserve to have love, compassion, shelter, Medicare, all the different things that we need to live. Lots to think about. But it's hard if you don't have that self-esteem. So that's why it's really important, this little simple pledge that I say 4 or 5 times before I even come on the air. Because, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen when you're on, especially when you're in live radio. You have to be ready, and you can't allow anything to happen to throw you off. And it can throw you off if you feel, oh, my God, I'm a bad person. I can't do this, and all that other junk that runs through your mind. So let's do the pledge. And I really love the pledge. You know, it makes me feel good when I say this. It makes me feel a little bit empowered, you know. And I'm going to ask Ken, you and I are in the studio here live. If you would please join me, I'd really appreciate it. God, we had a wonderful birthday yesterday, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, it's really, I'm so glad we made it through another year. It's just amazing. I just love you, dear. Anyway, we're going to do the pledge. Here we go. I'm going to say it first. You know, just listen to it. Just kind of take it in. Think about what is it saying? My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means who cares what, you know, Terry Cole Whitaker said it so beautifully. What you think of me is none of my business. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And the higher power can be anything you want it to be. Some people call it Jesus, some people call it God, some people call it, everybody's got a different definition of higher power. It's some entity that you feel is with you, that encourages you, that uplifts you. So I'm going to say it, and you just repeat after me. And take it in. Think about what you are saying. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. Together. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Now just take that in. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. You know, there's a saying in the Bible for people who believe in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what this is all about. You can't love anybody until you love yourself. You project onto people how you feel about yourself. You got to recognize that. So just take it in one more time because it's so important. It's so important. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Whew, just amazing. Just amazing. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And, you know, this song, Singing for Our Lives, I'd like to call it Protesting for Our Lives, Standing Up for Our Lives, whatever we want to do, Singing for Our Lives.
How could anyone ever?
Oh, I'm sorry. How could anyone ever tell you? I'm telling you, this is, I don't know what happened, but I had one script and then another script, so I have different. How could anyone ever tell you you are anything less than perfect? We're going to go ahead and listen to that song. And then when we come back, joining me on the phone will be Ariel Kelly, who's the acting CEO of Corazon Healdsburg, a Healdsburg-based nonprofit. She was recently recognized as one of the North Bay's top 40 under 40 notable young professionals. So go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song.
Deeply you're connected to my soul. Mm-hmm. deeply you're connected to my soul.
Oh my God, I love that song. It's called How Could Anyone Ever Tell You, and it was sung by Camp Tungawanga, and I believe it was a children's camp that they were singing that song, which is just amazing. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest, Ariel Kelly, who is joining me on the phone. Welcome, Ariel. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I'm really excited about this, and I want to congratulate you that you were chosen as one of the North Bay's top 40 under 40 notable young professionals. Congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be amongst the other 39 recipients who are all really outstanding in their individual fields as well.
Well, that's very generous of you. Anyway, before we start, I would like to tell our listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure thing.
Okay, Ariel Kelly is the acting CEO of Corazon Healdsburg, a Healdsburg non-based nonprofit. Recently, she was recognized as one of North Bay's top 40 under 40 notable young professionals. Ariel has also been appointed to be commissioner for the Sonoma County Planning Commissioner. She's a attorney by training and has both a Juris Doctorate and MBA degrees. Welcome, again, your work at Corazon is focused on removing barriers to achieving equity and opening pathways to prosperity for low-income families. She is also the founder of the Healdsburg Free Store that opened in 2017 after the Tubbs Fire and started the Healdsburg Kinder 2 College Fund, which opens college savings accounts for every kindergartner student in the public schools in Healdsburg and Geyserville. She lives in Healdsburg with her husband and two young kids. Adding to all this, I mean, my goodness, Ariel, where do you get your energy? I guess that's what happens when you're not 80. She's also running now for a seat on the Healdsburg City Council. You are truly a modern, involved young woman. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Well, you summed it all up pretty well. I think now that we're, of course, living in the time of COVID, I think the role of being a mom and participant in the household is a greater role than I think many of us, working parents have figured out ways to balance. And I think the new world we're living in has stretched us into new levels in terms of how do you work from home, parent from home, maintain a household, and keep your sanity. That's the latest addition to my bio.
Well, what I'd like to say is, it's very, very interesting, because I like to start the interviews out. We're going to talk about the program in Healdsburg and some of the other things that you're involved in. But before we start out, because it's a women's show, and the whole focus is really to encourage other women to step up to the plate and do and follow their passion and their vision. And so tell us a little bit about yourself. What inspired you? Here you are, you have an MBA, and you also have a Juris Doctorate, so you're a lawyer. I mean, you've gone through all that, plus you're a mother. I mean, it's just amazing. What inspired you? Where did you get your confidence? And did you have any mentors or any particular woman that you really admired that encouraged you?
Well, I think growing up, I always saw activism in my family and in my community, and it was really just a part of my upbringing, and so I didn't really know anything different. Both of my parents were very involved in my local community growing up in Eugene, Oregon, and so in my life, living in San Francisco for a while, I was very involved in local organizations and just felt that it was necessary, and not just your role as a working person, but also being able to volunteer your time and being able to lend the skills that you have, right? I have a business background with my MBA, and so a lot of the time it was volunteering with nonprofits, but helping them in that capacity, not necessarily in other realms that I didn't have experience in. And I think that was where I realized that kind of everyone possesses a unique set of skills that they can bring to the table, and you don't have to, you know, I don't know anything about graphic design, for example, so I don't need to volunteer those skills. But what I do possess, and I think that knowing that that was a valuable thing that I could offer, as a volunteer, and people really appreciated it, just kind of underscored, you know, the desire to do it more. And I have had some really great mentors along the way. I've had wonderful teachers in school and professors when I was in law school who really showed that you can be a mom and a working parent, but also make change and teach the next generation. And that was really powerful to observe. A lot of my teachers are some of my greatest mentors.
Well, you know, it's good that you say that, because, you know, right now we have all kinds of things going on in the teaching profession that people have to recognize. You know, just like I talked about at the beginning of the show, when I went back to college at 30 and I had to graduate, take public speaking, I could barely look at you in the eyes, and I had this wonderful teacher who encouraged me, got me on the forensic team and all the things. And so a shout out to all those teachers out there. They don't realize how important they are. Well, what were some of the challenges is there any specific challenge that you felt that as a woman, you know, that you were facing along the way, and how did you handle that?
Well, certainly, I think that as women, we often are asked to carry a lot of different, wear a lot of different hats in our lives. And I think for me, I feel very lucky to have a partner in my husband, Tim, who values the work that I'm doing in the community and in the world, and is an equal partner, sometimes puts more energy in it than I can, given various times. You know, so I think having partnerships whenever that's possible, or being able to rely on family or friends to help so that we are able to achieve our goals. I think, unfortunately, that is a double standard that is often put on women and mothers, in the workplace, that you have greater expectations of needing to deliver on your work product, but also knowing the heavy load that you may be carrying at home, whether that's caring for children or caring for aging parents, but that women as natural caregivers often are put into these really challenging situations. And I think emergencies like COVID or like during the fires, you know, really just exacerbates a lot of those tensions in our lives. So I feel that has been something that has been really challenging to navigate, but I also feel really fortunate to have my partner, and then to also have family that can step in and support as well.
Did you say his name was Ken?
Timothy.
Okay, well, congratulations. That's wonderful. I feel the same way, you know, that it's very important to have friends, partners, whatever you can to support one another is really important. Well, let's start talking about, I hope I pronounced this right, Corazon Healdsburg. Tell us how you got involved. And when I went on the website and did some research, I noticed you do three levels. There's three levels. There's a three-level pillars. Comunidad, Comunidad, which is the culture events for community members. Then you have the La Voz, which is raising the Latino voice. And then you have the Casa del Corazon, the Family Resource Center at the Healdsburg Community Center. So talk about how you got involved, and if you could go through, give us a little background on these three different pillars and how they do and how they help people.
Oh, absolutely. So Corazon means heart in Spanish, and Corazon started with two people in Healdsburg who are close friends of mine, Ari and Donalise Rosen, and they own restaurants in Healdsburg. They used to own Scopa and now Campofina Restaurant. And what they found is that there were many members of their community that they were working with closely who needed guidance towards navigating complicated situations in life, and there was no bilingual resource center that existed in our community that was kind of had an open door policy where you could come in and seek guidance. And so they had this idea to start a family resource center. And one of the things that attracted me to joining the organization, they had approached me back in 2016 as they were getting ready to launch to build the board of directors and to help get kind of move it forward and to hire our first employee was really the thought of building community. And as you said, comunidad, which means community, through kind of the common language of celebrations, art, culture, music, food, dancing, things that we all can easily find common ground with. And the idea was that we could create a platform for mutual understanding and creating community events like our Dia de los Muertos or Day of the Dead celebration that we do now every year in Healdsburg. So when we first launched back in 2016, our coming out party was the Dia de los Muertos celebration, which has grown to now, you know, thousands of people that gather each year in Healdsburg to celebrate this beautiful, vibrant event with music and food and art. And I think it is really been able to open a lot of conversations, open dialogue about the desire for belonging, the desire for understanding, and using culture and art.
Hello.
Hello.
Oops, we kind of lost her here.
Lost her here.
Pardon?
Pardon?
Okay, let's. Let's go into a song, Ken, before you tell, before you give her a call. Why don't we go ahead and put on a Sound of Silence, and we'll get Ariel back on the line. We'll see what happened. I don't know. All of a sudden, she just cut out. We're going to play called The Sound of Silence. It was a song written by Paul Simon, and it's a song, you know, it's really a very interesting song. Paul Simon wrote it in the aftermath of the 1963 assassination of John F. Kennedy. The song propelled the group to mainstream popularity. You know, Garfunkel once summed up the song's meaning as the ability for people to communicate with each other, not particularly internationally, but especially emotionally. So what you see around you are people who are unable to love each other, to see each other, to talk to each other. And so that's what he wrote this song specifically for. And I found a really wonderful, wonderful rendition of it, sung by Anna and Lisa Hawkins. And it's just a pleasure to listen to it. So let's go ahead and listen to Sound of Silence, and then we're going to try once again to get Ariel back on the line. I mean, what an interesting, beautiful conversation we were having. But, you know, we're live, folks, and stuff happens. So let's go ahead, Ken, Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, 'neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night. The sound of silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs.
of silence. Oh, no. By my silence, I give my consent. Remember that. Quiet. You're saying, hey, it's okay to do whatever you want. If you don't vote, hey, it's okay to do whatever you want. Very, very important. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And once again, we had a little glitch on the telephone here, but we have Arielle Kelly back on the line, and we were talking about cortisone. We were talking about their three pillars. I think we were on community, Arielle. Welcome back. Are you there?
Thank you. I am. Sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry about it. We're on live radio here, and let's just continue on and go on to keep talking about, you were talking about community, and then there's the next pillar, I believe, is Lavos, if you could go into that a little bit.
Sure. Lavos means the voice, and what we found when we were launching a number of our programs in Healdsburg was just that there were a lot of voices missing from the conversation, whether it was the conversation happening at the school board or at City Hall, or in general, just in the community. And we wanted to create a space and a platform where our Latino residents, which make up a third of our community and the majority of our young people in our community, that there could be an opportunity for participation and an equal access to those spaces for so many of our marginalized community members. And so we created a number of different activities and programs, whether through education, through a comité, which is a committee of local residents who meet in Spanish speaking in Spanish every month, to talk through what are issues impacting our local community and how can we create voice and a platform where those voices can be heard by decision makers in the community.
Well, what were some of that is really so, I was just talking about that, particularly playing the song, The Sound of Silence, you know, and there's another song I play, By My Silence, I Give My Consent. So it's interesting. What are some of the challenges in helping the people overcome? Because most people are so nervous about speaking out.
Yeah, I think we're in somewhat of a positive space in which we really have had a number of commissions or city council members or people in leadership in our city say we want to have these voices at the table and we want to understand, you know, what is happening in community. And so I think for us, especially as it relates to the schools and parents wanting to participate in helping to shape school policy, or whether that's local things around food insecurity and issues impacting low-income families, that voices of those who are most impacted could help shape, you know, what is the response from decision makers. And so we've been able to help navigate a lot of pretty large challenges, whether that's around the housing crisis in our community or food insecurity, racism and segregation in our schools. There's some major issues that we're trying to tackle and making sure that those most impacted can have a voice and be a part of that process.
Well, it's amazing when the community comes together and there's numbers and you go in front of a board of supervisors or a city council in your area. It has a lot more influence when people are able to speak out and let people know what they need and what is really important. And then the last thing is that, and I think this is really important, it's the Family Resource Center at the Healdsburg Community Center. Now, this really interested me when I was reading it because I recognized how important this is, that we do have community centers where the community can come together. And oftentimes what happens is that, you know, it's a little bit expensive sometimes to get a hall or get something like that. So how is this Community Resource Center, how is that operating in Healdsburg, and what kind of information can you give maybe to other people that are listening in other cities to start something like this? I thought this was really very powerful when I read it.
Yeah, well, we're lucky that we're one of more than five family resource centers that exist across the county, and we actually partner with those other organizations on several projects. Organizations like Via Esperanza, that's run by Community Action Partnership in Santa Rosa, and La Luz in Sonoma Valley, and the McDowell Family Resource Center in Petaluma. You know, there's a number of organizations that have come before us and kind of charted this path forward that we've been able to learn from and partner with in delivering services in North County, where there was a huge void. And so we actually asked the city of Healdsburg to give us the space and in a lease that's in exchange for services. We don't have to pay them rent, but we offer services to the community in exchange. So it's been a really wonderful asset for us to have this physical space where people can come together, obviously not during COVID, but that we have a hub and a centralized location where individuals and families can come and seek resources, whether that's, you know, free income tax preparation in partnership with United Way, or groceries that we deliver each week at the community center through a drive-through program that we do with the Brentwood Empire Food Bank. But it's the idea that this place can be a localized hub for resources that already exist throughout the county, and that we can provide staff and volunteers to bolster that effort and to do outreach to make sure community members know that the programs are happening. And we actually run programs there with Santa Rosa Junior College and Sonoma County Adult Education as well. So we have about 250 students taking adult classes every year at that site, learning English, learning how to use computers, and we offer free child care as well.
So you started all this in 2016?
Yes.
All
late
this?
2016. My We're God. Only about 3.5 years old.
My God, what you accomplished. It's just amazing. Well, why don't you go ahead and give the website how people can find out more about this organization, because there's a few other things that we need to discuss here that I think are really important. So go ahead and give the website.
So our website is CorazonHealdsburg.org, and Corazon is spelled CORAZON. Healdsburg.org.
Right. And remember always to remind my listeners that all the information, all the website that we give, you can go on our website, www.womenspaces.com. You can also hear the interview, other interviews, but we have all the information that our guests relay to us. We make sure we relay it to you. Well, let's go a little bit further, deeper into Healdsburg here. I mean, it's so interesting. KBB, if we go to about 18 or 19 counties here, and it's so interesting when you would start doing research and you start finding out about all these different things that are going on right in your own backyard. So talk about the Healdsburg Free Store. I thought that was very interesting. In fact, in the 60s, I lived in Los Angeles, and I was very proud to be one of the founders in Los Angeles of the free clinic there. So I know what it takes to get any kind of free store together. So why don't you talk about the free store? How did you get that idea? And are you still functioning? You're still operating it? And why do you think it's important?
Yeah, well, we opened the free store just after the Tubbs fire in 2017. What we found, you know, fortunately, that there were so many people from across the country, across the world, who saw the devastation of the Tubbs fire and wanted to respond by sending goods and sending donated materials to our community. And we were, you know, very fortunate in Healdsburg that no structures were lost during that fire. And so we thought we really need to do something to support our neighbors in Santa Rosa and beyond who had lost so much in the Tubbs fire. So we opened a warehouse location. We found a local business who was offering the warehouse facility for free, and it was like this massive over 10,000 square foot warehouse. And so we just I had the idea to say, hey, let's open the store up. And we got about 500 volunteers to sign up, and we operated the store for a few months, and we received donations of all things, household goods from River Rock Casino. We received probably 150,000 cases of diapers from Baby to Baby in Los Angeles, and jackets from Burlington Coat Factory, and shoes. I mean, it was immense. We had a massive volume of goods that we received and then distributed out to people in need. Everyone from people who were homeless prior to the Tubbs fire to people who were living in Fountain Grove and had lost their homes would come to the free store and pick up things that they needed and would come and shop. And we distributed to about 2,500 families and were able to be open for a few months. And then as the need had started to lessen, as people were able to get back on their feet, we decided to close the free store back in 2018, and then we reopened it after the Kincade fire in 2019 at a new location.
Well, you know what's so amazing What's so amazing about this story and all the names you listed, and again, it was asking, reaching out, speaking up, you know, saying we need this, you know, all the different people that organize it, that come together, but also that donate. So it's an amazing example of what community can do if they put their minds to. And it looks like you have another interesting thing. I don't know if this is still in place, but it's called Kinder to College. And I looked up, I thought that was really interesting, thinking of preparing children from kindergarten on. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So it's actually, the two are tied together. The free store is actually how we got on Ellen DeGeneres' radar. And Ellen, for her 60th birthday celebration, invited an audience full of guests who were all people who were doing good in their community. And we were honored to be invited to the Ellen Show back in 2018.
Oh my goodness, you got to be kidding.
It was the surprise of our lifetime.
How come we don't know about it? How come it wasn't plastered all over the front page? Hey, press Democrat, where are you?
So well, it was in the local Healdsburg paper on the cover of the Healdsburg Tribune. So a group of five of us, including two kindergarten teachers who had been very involved in the Healdsburg Free Store, we traveled to L.A. for the Ellen Show, and it was actually her 60th birthday show. And so it was a special two-hour taping, and Michelle Obama and Jennifer Aniston and Jimmy Kimmel and all these, you know, famous celebrities were on the show. And it was just, like, in and of itself was this dream come true for so many people who love her show. And at the end of the show, they said, because you all have done so much good in your community, anyone who reaches under their seat right now and pulls out a box of Cheerios is going to win a portion of $1 million that we're giving out today to everybody in the audience.
Oh,
so we
God.
All reached under our seats, and every single person in the audience had a box of Cheerios. And there were gasps and cries, and we all realized, oh, my goodness, what a gift. That was the beginning of how the Kinder to College Fund got started.
What was the gift?
So we received a portion of this $1 million prize, and we were all just in shock. And as I mentioned, there were two kindergarten teachers there with us. And so the group of five from Healdsburg, after we kind of got over the initial shock of the moment, a couple days later, we were all texting, and one of the teachers said, hey, what do you guys want to do with the money? And we said, well, you know, we can do whatever we want with it. That's what Ellen said. And we didn't want to, you know, teachers obviously are way too, you know, underpaid in our community. So we wanted the teachers to keep the money. And they said, no, let's pool our winnings and let's do something with it. Why don't we start a college scholarship fund? And I said, well, actually, I've been reading a lot about these college savings account programs that you can start in kindergarten. What if we pooled the money together and started college savings accounts for all the kids in kindergarten? So we decided that that's what we were going to do. We were going to open college savings accounts for all the kids in the Healdsburg Public School kindergarten class. And we announced it to the community. And within 2 weeks, we raised another $60,000 of local donors who wanted to join us and start this fund. And over the last 2 years, the Kinder to College Fund, we've actually raised over $150,000 more, and we've expanded it to Alexander Valley, Westside, and Geyserville school districts. So now we're in 4 school districts with hundreds of kids in the program, and we got a state grant for $100,000 just last year to continue growing it.
So just somebody had an idea. Once again, had a vision, wanted to do something, got together, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the Ellen Show. Is there a tape? I mean, you're going to have to email me all the information on me. If there's any kind of link where people can see that particular show, I would love to advertise it. You know, on our Women's Spaces show. Well, you know, time goes by very quickly when we're in the studio here, and we had that little bit of glitch also. So. Really quickly, you know, one of the things that I do is I want the guest to send me 5 questions. And one of the things that you put down is that you wanted to talk a little bit about the impact on the local Latino community, particularly with the COVID pandemic that is happening now. So give us real quickly, what are some of the issues that you see? And then also, how can people get more involved with you? How can they support you? No phone numbers, but you're welcome to give any kind of website or anything that you feel is important.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, what we've seen locally is mirrors what we see nationally, and that communities of color are disproportionately being impacted by COVID. And since the numbers are on the rise in Sonoma County, it should be no secret that the numbers are also on the rise in our local Latino population. And this is really alarming for us, and it should be alarming for all of your listeners today, is that we need to all do our part to wear masks and to wash our hands and to really try to slow the spread of COVID as much as possible. And we're seeing so many families really struggling right now with these challenges that are in front of us. You know, do we return to work so that we can stay afloat economically and be able to pay our rent? Do we send our kids back to school, even knowing, you know, the challenges that are in front of us? And so I think we all have the ability to help and do our part. And I think also we're seeing that many people in the workplace are becoming sick due to employers not having a lot of protections in place for their employees. And so I think for anyone out there who goes into a place of work, to ask your employer, your HR department, what kind of protections do we have in place for when someone in our workforce does get sick with COVID, and how can we make sure that we're doing everything we can to slow the spread? Because it is really hurting a lot of vulnerable community members, and we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect our community and stay safe right now.
Well, Arielle, I want to thank you, Arielle Kelly, for being on Women's Spaces, for sharing all the information, and for being such an inspiration, for heaven's sakes, for doing some of the things that you're doing in the little town of Healdsburg. I mean, this is very, very impressive. So I really want to thank you, and go ahead, give the women the website real quick.
CorazonHealdsburg.org.
Well, thank you so much. And it'll be on our website, www.womenspaces.com, so people can get in touch with you. And thank you. Thank you so much for the time and for all the energy that you're putting in. And congratulations on running for Healdsburg City Council. I wish you much luck on that.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow, I'm telling you, folks, we are filled with women in this community that make a huge difference. Well, that's it for our show. July is moving out, and I'm really excited about August. We women will be celebrating 100 years since we got the vote, and the show next month will focus on that event. And also, on the second week in August, I'm going to have Molly Murphy McGregor on, who is the founder, one of the co-founders of the National History Women's Alliance, which was founded right here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, California. I mean, I'm so proud that we've been friends. We went to school together, Molly and I, and I look forward to the interview. She does an interview every August with us for the past several years now. A reminder, you know, make sure that you tell your friends and family and everybody else that Women's Spaces is on tonight at 11 o'clock, and I'm really excited about that. I even get to listen to myself. I've actually been listening to myself lately, and I said to myself, my goodness, if I can do radio, anybody can do radio. I want to do a shout out to my dear friend Leslie Graves. She's going to be working with me on the Sonoma County, the Santa Rosa snippets that I write for the Sonoma County Gazette, and I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be retiring. And also, mark your calendars for August 13th and to 2020, because the National Organization for Women is going to have they're going to have a Zoom. Anyway, remember, our children are the future. We must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
She'll take you home now, the woman in your life. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 27th, 2020.